For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
All right, you may be seated. The rain was very wild. I had to stop for 1 hour, you know, just wait for it to, what do you say? Yeah, the flooding. At the point, I was trying to move through it, but I realized my car was stalling, so I parked somewhere, and there was so much vapor coming out of the engine. I'm like, Charlie, if I tried, I wouldn't have made it. Anyway, so we are grateful to God for all of you for coming to church on a rainy day. God bless you and give you the blessing of perseverance. The reward of persevering. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. What it means to be a strong Christian. So we're still talking about teaching on how you can become a strong Christian. And we're on what it means to be a strong Christian. So our key verse, Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong. Yeah. So just to emphasize again that it is your choice to be strong. It is your choice also to be weak. You can't complain that you're a weak Christian, or you can't complain that everything is beating you up. You have to be strong. It is your choice. It says, be strong. It didn't say let Angel Gabriel make you strong or your reverend make you strong, but you be strong. So you have to decide to be strong and then do the things that would make you strong. Let's look at the verse that we looked up a while ago when we started this series. Look at Mark chapter 3 and verse 27. Mark 3, 27. So Mark 3, 27 says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods. So you cannot just enter a strong man's house and spoil the strong man's goods. It won't work. The only way it will work is except he first bind a strong man, isn't it? So whichever way you look at it, it is of advantage to be strong. If you are weak, I have decided to be very strong. I'll tell you, and I'm not joking, I have decided to be very, very strong in certain things. Because I realize that if I play, somebody can easily do something to me. It's not being superstitious. Two different things. Yeah. You cannot just be there and speaking in tongues and quoting scriptures and you can see that sometimes when certain things come there, you begin to be afraid. It all shows that, Charlie, you are not very strong. Yeah. There's a book that I'm reading, you know, I don't think I've read the whole book, but I've read some pages many, many times, the book I showed to you. So finally, I feel like, you know, sometimes you feel like you should have a hard copy in your hand. So yesterday I ordered a hard copy and I'm very excited about it because it's come home. I call my son to check the mailbox. To make sure it's there. And I intend to sleep with it. I'll read it and sleep with it, walk with it, do everything with it. Because I believe that it is going to help me to be a very strong Christian. Because there are many things in the world that hate us. Do you realize that? Yeah. This world is full of many, many rough things that will come against us. But when you are strong, in fact, God does not exempt us from difficulties or challenges. In fact, if anything at all, we are rather even warned that when you are righteous, your afflictions are many. But if we understand it, yeah. When you are righteous, because as a verse says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Yeah, but the Lord, yes. So it is the Lord's will that we be strong. Let me remind you again of Proverbs 24:10. Look at it again. Proverbs 24:10. So Proverbs 24:10 says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." If thou faint in the day of adversity, it means thy strength is small. Amen. We cannot afford to faint in times of adversity, in times of severe challenge. It is because our strength is small. So we began to look at areas that we need to develop. If you want to be a strong Christian, there are certain things that you need to develop. Number one, we said we must develop a deeper Christian life, isn't it? Number two, you must become steadfast. You cannot easily be moved. Number three, you must become unmovable. And last week we looked at number four, to become spiritual. How many of you think you are becoming spiritual? Yeah. One of the things I've realized as I deal with people is that spirituality is not necessarily activities. Do you get it? Yeah. You can have someone who prays the loudest tongues. Your tongue is the strongest. Maybe your tongue is even Russian. Yeah, Russian infused with Chinese. Yeah. But you are not a strong Christian. Do you see? So we have to be spiritual. We have to be spiritual. So number five, this is new. To be a strong Christian is to become holy. To be a strong Christian is to become holy. Last week we looked at to become spiritual, but now to be holy. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Hebrews 12:14. It says, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, and what? Holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Yes. Without holiness, we will not see the Lord. You cannot be a Christian and not be holy. What does it mean to be holy? To be holy is to be sanctified, isn't it? And that's the very nature of God, purity. So he says, we should follow peace with all men and holiness. You know, when I was looking at this scripture, I said to myself, the latter part of the scripture, which says, without which no man shall see the Lord, applies to the whole verse. So you can read, follow peace, without which no man shall see the Lord, and follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. But today we are talking about holiness. We have to be holy. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God is holy. And he expects you to be holy. Is there a song like that? An old song? Scripture in your song, isn't it? I remember those. The words just struck me. And expects you to be holy. Hey, Pastor, do you know the song? You know the words, yeah? So, holiness is the nature of God, and God expects his children to be holy. God expects us to be holy, to be pure. Amen. I went through an exercise trying to differentiate holiness and righteousness. All right? The scriptures make it clear that God is holy. The scriptures also make it clear that God is righteous. So both are natures of God, isn't it? And I believe that holiness and righteousness are closely knit together. Okay? We describe righteousness as you know, being right with God. I believe that when you are righteous, you also will be holy. Righteousness leads you to purity. Because when you do right things, you stand right with God, you will be holy. I don't know what you think. Eli Pastor, what do you think about that? Or you don't want to think about that? Amen. Pastor Kobe, what do you think about that? Yeah. So righteousness and holiness are together. Okay? And I'm saying that there are scriptures to show that both of them are natures of God. Yes. And I'm saying that if you look at righteousness, being right with God, staying right with God, will actually lead you to holiness. Yeah. You see, whenever you sin, you fall off righteousness. When you sin, you are out of the righteous path. See, that is why the Bible says that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, because sin makes you unrighteous. Do you get me? That is why when you realize you sin, you must quickly confess. Yeah, and believe God. Many years ago when we were in Scripture Union, or in our early days of Christianity, we always thought that when you start praying, you should pray with confession. Do you remember it? You confess your sins. That's one of the things that you do. You acknowledge, then you confess, isn't it? So confession, it's important. Like I think it was Sunday I mentioned that sometimes we do even things that we are not even aware of. But as you, the Bible says that when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. In fact, it's making even this Hebrews 12:14 even make more sense. When it says, follow peace with all men. Isn't it? Because when you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. When you are in fellowship, you are at peace. Isn't it? You follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So righteousness and holiness are knit together. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, let's look at a few verses on righteousness. All right? Let's start from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This book by Bishop is a very deep book. I tell you, you can read it and share it for weeks. One chapter, isn't it? I think we did chapter 1 in this book with the second service for like 6 weeks and we stopped. It's too powerful. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 17, which we all know, isn't it? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, old things are passed away. behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So, just by the way, everyone here is a minister of reconciliation. Yeah, we all carry the portfolio of ministering reconciliation. It's once you're born again, you have Jesus Christ, it is your responsibility. You are in the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. Yes, by this scripture. Because it says, go back to 18 again. It says, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You didn't even ask for it, it was given to you. So you are a minister of reconciliation. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a minister of reconciliation. Then verse 19 says, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. It's stressing it here again. God has committed the word of reconciliation into our hands. He's given it to us. He's given to us to pass it on. All right? Then jump to verse 21. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Yeah. This is, I get excited about things that has to say in the Bible that God made. He made us sit at his right hand. He made us the righteousness of God in him. In Christ, we are made. I mean, you didn't have a choice. Do you see? You didn't have a choice. You were just made. The day you got born again, all the things that you had done, it was just wiped off. Wow. You were made. Okay? But it is our responsibility. All right? That is why we're talking about how to be a strong Christian. It is your responsibility to remain holy. It is your responsibility to keep doing the right thing. That is why he's saying that when you realize you've done the wrong thing, just confess it, and then you are cleansed from all unrighteousness, and then you are back to righteousness. Are you understanding? Yeah. So it's something that we are made. You get it? Now, whenever I read this verse, I remember many years ago, some of the messages that I'd listened to from Kenneth Hagin, you know, and he taught on how sometimes people who have had a strong past, like a very negative past. You know, you always feel guilt. Even when you get born again, you still feel guilty. That, oh, I did all these bad things. I did this. I killed somebody. Not that spiritually, let me put it right. It actually doesn't matter. Because there's only one standard of righteousness. And that's the righteousness of God. The righteousness. Everyone say the righteousness of God. Righteousness. Yeah, there's only one standard of righteousness. It's the righteousness of God. And we were all made the righteousness of God. Wow. Yeah. Nobody is more righteous, really, than anybody else. When God sees us, he sees that righteousness of God. We're all made. Nobody was made any less. Now, you have to understand that your consciousness and your acknowledgement of it may vary. Okay? And that's what makes it look like there's a difference. But there's really no difference. We are all righteous. There's only one path, and that is through Christ. And in Christ, we are all the same. Whether you're a bishop, you're a murderer who has received Jesus Christ, you see? But the murderer may struggle because in his mind, it feels like, oh, you know, yeah, I was so bad. But we are all made that righteousness. Amen. And God wants us to maintain that righteousness. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God wants us to maintain that righteousness. All right. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 John 3, 9. Or two, let's start from 1 John 2:29. 1 John 2:29. Look at it. It says, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So we actually have to do righteousness. You have to make yourself do righteousness. And he's saying that if you do righteousness, then we know we are born of him because he is righteous. Are you understanding? Go to chapter 3, verse 9. First John 3, 9. It says, whoever is born of God doth not sin, doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot. Everybody say cannot. Yeah. He cannot sin because he is born of God. I think the Amplified version makes it simpler. Let's look at the Amplified version of this verse. Amplified 1 John 3, 9. We're still talking about we must be holy, isn't it? We must develop holiness, righteousness, do the right thing. 1 John 3, 9. Look at it. It says, no one born, begotten of God, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. For God's nature abides in him, which is what? His principle of life, the divine sperm, remains permanently. Not temporarily, permanently within him. And he cannot practice sinning because he's born, begotten of God, period. When you are born again, this scripture applies to you. You cannot, anybody who deliberately sins, there's a problem. We need to look at it again. Yes, you need something hasn't clicked. Do you see? Just like when you buy a car that is new or fairly new, or a car that is supposed to be running, and you start it and it goes, it will start. There is something wrong. We must find out what is wrong with it, isn't it? In the same way, when you're a Christian, if you sin habitually, deliberately, you know, I'm going there, I'm going to sin. I'm going this way, I'm going to do this. Yes. You even start confessing it before you go. Calculated. It cannot be. Because God says that you cannot sin because his genes are in you. And you cannot. You will be righteous. Isn't it? Verse 10. You can go back to the King James. Verse 10. It says, in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth is not his brother. Eesh. Mercy. The Lord forgive us all. In fact, this word is too much. I'm reading it and I'm seeing that it's too much. Yeah? Go back to verse 10, please. Look at it again. In this, the children of God. Let's look at the Amplified. I didn't look at it from the Amplified, but let's look at it. Look at it. But this is made clear. By this it is made clear who take their nature from God and are his children, and who take their nature from the devil and are his children. And so it's like, I'm not mixing it, let it be clear. It's clear. I mean, this, if you are this, you are of the devil. If you are this, you are, yeah. Let's not be religious. We are reading the Bible. It says, no man who does not practice righteousness, who does not conform to God's will in purpose, thought, and action is of God. Neither is anyone who does not love his brother, his fellow believer in Christ. That one too is not of God. In fact, Hebrews 12:14 is becoming clearer, isn't it? Follow peace with all men and what? And holiness. Without no one shall see God. So God is very serious about it. Yeah? Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, let us follow holiness and the pursuit of holiness. Let us be people who do righteousness. Yeah? You see, when you're a child of God, because His Holy Spirit dwells in you, the genes are in you. You see that at every moment, you cannot say you did not feel it. God always prompts us. God always directs us. God always will show you, don't do this. Don't say this. Yeah? But sometimes we say to I'll say it anyway. I will do it anyway. I will still go ahead anyway. And that does not please Him. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.